a supernatural podcast with Lizzie and Missy.
Hello.
Welcome back, everyone.
For those tuning in, this is Balls, a supernatural podcast. Thanks for listening.
I giggle every time. I'm Missy.
I'm Liz.
And we are going from the pilot to the series finale one by one, reliving our favorite show, Supernatural.
We'll be telling you some fun facts, some did you knows, some history, mythology, and legends. So join us, won't you, on this very long and drawn out car ride.
Well, funny, because I'm going to make it even longer.
Woo!
Just had a little like housekeeping. Remember when we wrapped up season one, I gave you like all those fun facts about
through the season.
Through the season, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I remembered the other day that I didn't do that for season two, and I was wondering if I could do that right now.
I don't see a problem with that. Let's do it.
I thought you were going to say no. You're like,
No, we're in season three now. We don't go back. All right. I know there's the road so far, but like,
well, let's say we're doing the then, and then we'll come up to the now.
Okay, well, when you put it that way, I'm sold.
Okay. So just to wrap up of season two, because I thought this was fun when we did it for season one. There was one angel, two demons, five monsters, five ghosts, and six what they consider other. So that would be humans, witches, curses, etc.
I like that they include curses.
Yes. The crying tally. Dean cried 9 times, Sammy cried 13 times, and random other people cried 7 times.
Sam cried 13 times?
13 times.
Damn, Sam, you even died, bro. Like, your brother only cried 9.
Yeah,
the entire episode he was crying for you. So, like, what the hell?
Dean says Sammy about 37 times throughout the whole season.
Makes sense.
Sam says, check this out. Only 1 time.
Interesting. What did it say? What episode that was?
No, it didn't go that far into detail, but just 1 time. Dean's on-screen drinks. Almost 15. That's 5 up from season 1.
So almost 15?
Almost 15. It was like in between. It was like 14 and a half.
So he left a beer hanging.
Yes.
That's upsetting.
He did. Dean says, son of a bitch, 13 times. And if you're on the plaid, you love the plaid in Supernatural. Sam wears mainly brown plaid with a few red and blues mixed in. 6 total plaids, by the way. And Dean has an equal amount of red, blue, and brown plaid, and he only wears 3. This is less plaid than they wore in season 1.
Do you think they share plaid shirts?
Oh, probably.
Because if you're, that's the same kind of color scheme. I'm not seeing any other colors peeking in there. So, like, they're not changing it up. I think they're just swapping shirts.
I think so. You might be right. Oh, and speaking of plaid shirts, I saw a picture of, not to give anything away, but of the of them from the last episode.
Mm-hmm.
The episode that just aired. And Jared is sitting there in a plaid shirt, but it has regular t-shirt sleeves. So just the body of it's plaid.
That's weird.
And I'm thinking, when he wears a jacket, does he not wear a full sleeved shirt underneath of it?
Oh.
But then I saw a picture that the cuffs of the button-down shirt were coming out of the sleeve. So do they add the cuff to the jacket and he's just like chilling in a short sleeve shirt underneath of it?
I feel like that would be weird. Wouldn't that be weird?
Like, I feel like it would be weird. But like, I can understand why, like, so like he wouldn't get hot maybe. I don't know, but.
Too late.
I know.
No, I'm kidding.
But I found it interesting that he had a plaid body and just like t-shirt sleeves chilling. I don't know. It was weird.
That's weird. That's real weird. I mean, that whole idea is weird. I mean, I get it. I mean, at that point, just kind of cut some ventilation in the
armpit holes. Yeah.
Yeah.
No one's going to see that.
No.
Then they'll have more room to move whenever they're fighting.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm.
Should have thought about that 15 seasons ago.
Things that make you go, hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, in season 2, there were 6 hugs. That was 3 more hugs than last season. And Dean's on-screen eating. This is all the things that Dean ate this in season 2. Hamburger, fries, wings, caramels, or caramels, depending on who you talk to. 2 mini cheese steaks, taquitos, burritos, prison chicken, regular chicken, pizza in a sandwich. You had to specify between prison chicken and non-prison chicken.
I also like the fact that, like, he ate a cheeseburger, and the first thing he eats in the first episode of the third season is a cheeseburger. For breakfast.
Yeah. I mean, why not?
I mean,
he's only got a year to live.
Who cares about the cholesterol? You're going to die anyway. And that's the thing I wonder. So, in that episode when he talks about the cholesterol, not to jump ahead, obviously, but I'm going to do it.
I'm going to do it anyway. You can't stop me.
Now, can he die prematurely in this year? Because he's got a year to live. We all know he's going to die. But obviously, if he has a heart attack because of his bad cholesterol that he's just cautioned to the wind this year, like, is that null and void of the contract? Or is that just moving the contract up? Or is it possible? Or, like, does he not die? Like, he has a heart attack and he just wakes back up and he's like, just kidding, we're good.
Maybe. Like, what if he got hit by a car and then just, bam, straight up in the street, nothing happened? Like, oh, what?
Things that make you go, hmm.
Okay, so what... let's move on to season three.
All right. Yeah. We are in the first episode of season three.
Yay. Season three.
This one is The Magnificent Seven.
Oh.
And this episode aired October 4th, 2007 and takes place in originally Oak Park, Illinois, and eventually Lincoln, Nebraska.
Lincoln.
Good old Lincoln.
I just thought of Lincoln Logs. I don't know why. Not the president. I think of the toy.
Not like a car.
The Lincoln car. I could do that too.
I think that's a good way to test a person, what they think of when they think of Lincoln.
Lincoln,
like,
yes.
Do you think of the president? Do you think of the toy? Do you think of the car? Like, where's your thought process?
Or do you think of Lincoln, Nebraska?
Mm-hmm. And this episode gives us an introduction to, which I forgot, Blonde Ruby.
Blonde Ruby is here.
She literally showed up and I was just like, oh my God, you're in this episode.
Blonde Ruby with the great hair.
Yes. And I saw her again and immediately was like, want to cosplay her.
I love you, Blonde Ruby.
Completely forgot she was in this episode. She literally just, like, shows up and they're just like, what up? Okay, dipping, bye.
I know. It's pretty amazing. She's pretty badass.
She's a total badass. Again, stark difference from Brunette Ruby.
Yeah.
Like, this one's kind of a badass. The other one's just kind of a bitch.
Yeah, she does not so good things.
Maybe there are twin rubies. That's what it is. It's not the same ruby. I would like to hold out faith.
Oh,
in my
okay.
Blonde Ruby.
Okay.
But do you got, like, a synopsis of the episode?
I do. I have a plot.
Woo! Love me a good plot.
I got from my favorite source, Wikipedia.
Nailed it.
I love me some wiki. Okay, so the season begins with brothers Sam and Dean Winchester, just in case you didn't know who they were, bracing themselves for the possibility of an apocalyptic war. They realize that hunting down the hundreds of spirits that escaped from the Devil's Gate, a doorway to hell briefly opened at the end of the previous season, will be an enormous task. With only a year to live, he made a demonic pact to resurrect Sam. Dean decides to live life to its fullest and exhibits a carefree attitude that troubles Sam, who is trying to find a loophole. Friend and fellow hunter, Bobby Singer, informs the brothers about a supernatural sighting in Nebraska, which turns out to be a demonic manifestation of the seven deadly sins. While investigating, they meet Isaac and Tamara, a husband and wife team of hunters. Isaac and Tamara trail one of the demons to a bar, but discover that all the patrons are demonically possessed. The two are restrained, and Isaac dies after being forced to drink drain cleaner. Before the demons can target Tamara, Bobby and the Winchesters crash their car into the building. By the way, not baby. It was Bobby's car. It's just...
Of course it's Bobby's car. Don't worry, baby's got a couple more walls coming her way.
Yeah, she's fine for right now. They throw the personification of envy into the trunk and drive away with Tamara. The hunters interrogate the demon and then exorcise it. Later that night, the other sins track them down. During the scuffle, a mysterious blonde named Ruby saves Sam and kills three demons, which are typically immune to physical harm, with a magical knife before departing. The rest of the sins are exorcised. As Sam continues his research the next day, Dean reveals that the clause in his pact will end Sam's life if he tries to escape the deal.
Ugh, that hurts.
It hurts. It cuts deep. Deeper than the demon knife.
The whole opening of this episode was hilarious, though.
Yeah.
In tune with that Sam or Dean trying to live life to the fullest.
Okay.
Him okay. with the Doublemint twins.
Why? Let's talk about that. Why doesn't Sam turn the car around or go somewhere else so he's not watching them through the window?
Well, he wasn't really watching them through the window. When he saw the part he wished he'd never seen of his brother was when he opened the door and they still weren't done.
Right, but whenever he's sitting there, you know, doing his research or whatever, he, like, looks up and sees Dean, like, through the drapes because they're not really, like, you know,
and that's when he gave him, like, the thumbs up.
Yeah, yeah, that's creepy.
That was a little weird, but maybe, maybe, just maybe. Obviously, we really haven't seen Sam drive Baby too much. I don't think Dean would let it. He'd be like, she can't leave. Sorry. Hotwire something else.
But I'd be like, could we at least turn her around? So I'm not facing it. But yeah, you're right. When he opens the door, he's traumatized by what he sees.
That was so funny, especially because, like, obviously Dean was looking for a reaction.
Yeah.
Was a little depressed that he didn't get the usual reaction, but he still got a reaction from Sam, which was utter disgust to what Dean called a normal act of, like, human desire.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a beautiful act. It's natural.
It's a natural act, Sammy. And I kind of liked the embodiment of the sins in this episode. I did think Pride reminded me a lot of, like, Mayhem from the insurance commercials.
Yes. Yeah.
I don't know if it was the business suit or the business suit and the hair or what, but it was just like, okay.
I think it was like, yeah, it was a combination of the both of them.
And I wish we had gotten more of a story about Tamara and Isaac.
Yeah.
Because obviously we didn't know much. Obviously Bobby knew them and that something had happened. And then when Isaac died and then was possessed by a demon, which I don't care who you are. I get that she loves him and shit. Mm-hmm. But, like, if she's a hunter, don't you think she would know a lot more about demonic possession?
I would think, yeah.
When Isaac started spouting off that time at the lake, and we made that promise,
yeah,
when they came for our son, you'd think she would know that a demon's able to go into your memory bank and pull that shit out.
Yeah.
Like, you saw your husband chug a bottle of, like, gelatinous bleach.
It was so gross.
You know he's dead. So what part of you thinks it's okay to open the door and that your husband's going to be there?
Oh, but she tackled that asshole down the steps. That was hilarious.
That was really funny.
They were like, what my dad would say, ass over tin cups, rolling down the steps. And then she stakes him.
Yeah.
She's like, oh, that was pretty cool.
And then we had one of the deadly sins going after Dean. Had three.
Yeah. What were the other two that were after? Because Pride, what were the other two that were after Dean? Or Sam, sorry.
I'll say, Dean had lust.
Yeah.
So Sam probably, because who was dead by then? Gluttony, I think, was already dead.
Mm-hmm.
Bobby got gluttony.
Mm-hmm.
Envy, maybe? Did we already kill Envy?
Envy was already exercised.
So that would probably be wrath and greed.
Okay.
Because the only one, because lust was with Dean, gluttony was gone. Envy was gone, so pride, wrath, and greed.
I have to say, I was a little concerned when Dean started to make out with Lust, because I didn't know his endgame for a second. I was like, I know, like, you're going to die. Do you want to do everything? Like, you know, even a demon? Let's not go there.
I was also nervous because, like, in those episodes, obviously any time those specific demons, the seven deadly sin demons, made eye contact, they basically brainwashed you.
Yeah.
So my thought was that Lust had brainwashed Dean.
Oh, yeah. Good point.
And I'm now also curious why it didn't work on him. Because they definitely made eye contact.
And then he drowned her in a pool of holy water, or a tub of holy water. So, yep, you know.
I also want to know, at what point do these demons, any demon, think it's okay that, like, the place they attack people is Bobby Singer's house? Like, you know he has that shit rigged everywhere. It's all a bad idea.
Do you have anything else you want to talk about?
Not from the episode. I
really don't have that much more to talk about.
I mean, that's literally it. I mean, I liked this episode because it was kind of a roller coaster of fun because, I mean, it's our first actual shot at seeing other demons than just demons, knowing that, like, there are demons and then there's the fallen angels and then there's the hierarchy of hell and that it's not necessarily the sins, but that they're demons. I thought that was a cool, like, little plot twist.
Yeah. Oh, one real quick. The way that the demon smoke is still so corny to me.
Oh, yeah, where it's like a tornado.
Yeah, where the way they come in, it's just like, okay, that's It's a little corny.
It'll get better every now and then. But I love the 8mm contacts, the demon eyes.
Yeah. Okay, do we want some... This is the part of the show where we do random shit with Missy.
We don't do random shit. We learn some random shit.
Oh, that's true.
What, are we going to go dumpster diving?
This is where I drop knowledge bombs on you.
Yes.
About random shit.
Yes.
Okay, so the episode title, The Magnificent Seven, takes its name from the title of a 1960 Western starring Yul Brynner and Steve McQueen about a group of hired gunmen. It's also the name of a song by the English punk band The Clash.
I adore some Steve McQueen.
Yeah.
Swoon.
I like Yul Brynner.
Yul Brynner's cool too, don't get me wrong, but in between like James Dean and Steve McQueen.
Oh yeah.
Which I just realized their names kind of rhyme. That's weird.
It does.
I'm more of a Steve McQueen girl.
I can't picture Yul Brynner being in a Western though, because when I think of him, I think of the Ten Commandments. And I'm like, you're a pharaoh of Egypt. Can you really be a cowboy?
See, you think of the King of Egypt, and I think of the King and I.
Okay.
See, that to me was Yul Brynner.
Different perspective. See, this is why we work so well.
Also, weirdly enough, he's in the original Westworld.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I did not know that.
Yeah.
At the beginning of this episode, Sam is researching for possible ways to get Dean out of his deal. One of the pages refers to the German legend of Faust. According to the legend, Faust is a highly accomplished scholar who is bored and just unsatisfied with what he's accomplished. He makes a deal with the devil's servant, Mephistopheles, for unlimited knowledge and worldly pleasures in exchange for his soul. As a condition to the deal, after a set period of years, the devil and Mephistopheles will collect Faust's soul and he will be eternally damned.
Damn.
I'm happy that I got Mephistopheles out, but I couldn't say set period of years. It's just how it works, people.
Gotta draw a line somewhere.
The Chevy Chevelle Bobby is driving is the same one that the vampires drove in episode Dead Man's Blood season one.
I always wonder what happened to cars and things, but apparently Bobby just takes them.
Bobby took it. He just puts it on his junkyard. It just lives there. The pride demon says, "Here's Johnny." He's quoting Jack Nicholson from The Shining, who was quoting Ed McMahon from The Tonight Show featuring Johnny Carson as host from 1962 to 1992. It's a double quote.
Damn.
The Double Mint Twins that Dean mentions is a part of an old advertising campaign with Wrigley's Double Mint Chewing Gum. The company used identical twins for their advertising for many years. When Bobby asks Sam where his brother is, while he's on the phone, he's like, "So where's your brother?" And Sam says, "Pulling the electorate." This is a reference to The Simpsons, where the local cops joke that Mayor Diamond Joe Quimby is pulling the electorate whenever he meets an attractive young woman at a motel room for a motel room tryst.
Ooh.
Pulling the electorate. As Isaac is getting up to confront a demon in the bar, Tamara says, "I love you." And his response is, "I know." This is a reference to the famous exchange between Han Solo and Leia in Star Wars Episode 5. When Bobby identifies the demons as the seven deadly sins, Dean says, "What's in the box?" Which is a quote from Brad Pitt's character in the movie Seven.
He was so let down when no one caught that.
I know. He was like so excited. Everybody's like, "This is a serious moment. What the hell are you doing?"
Now's not the time. Brad Pitt is not acceptable right now.
Like all the disgust on their face was like, "You've got to be kidding me." After the woman with the green shoes gets her head smashed into the car window, which, by the way, that poor lady.
I know.
She's like, "You're not getting..."
First off, how does that woman know that that's the only shoe and it's in her size?
Yeah, what if she did all that and they don't even fit? I don't know. Anyway, after she gets her head smashed in, a police officer says, "Better call Grissom," which is a reference to the character Gil Grissom, forensic scientist extraordinaire in TV's procedural drama, CSI, Crime Scene Investigation. It is shown throughout this episode that the demons could control humans with a touch, as evidenced by Envy controlling the woman and Gluttony controlling Isaac. When Lust touched Dean, however, he was able to lure her over to the bathtub, which was full of holy water. No explanation is given for his immunity, but it is echoed in My Bloody Valentine, when he seems to be the only one not affected by famine. His explanation for that is he is well-fed.
I mean, he obviously doesn't care about his cholesterol. He's eating whatever he wants.
Yeah. I can't wait to see the food tally on this season. This is only one of two episodes when only the iris of the demon's eyes are black. The first such episode is Phantom Traveler, and all the other episodes, the whole demon's eyes are filled in.
Mm.
Bobby refers to Peter Binsfield's classification of demons prepared in 1589, in which the seven deadly sins are associated with demons as follows. Lucifer is pride. Mammon is greed. Asmodeus is lust. Leviathan is envy. Beelzebub is gluttony. Satan is wrath. And Belphegor is sloth.
We meet Asmodeus.
Mm-hmm. This episode was first made available a day before it was aired on network television for free download on iTunes.
Ah.
How fun.
Fancy.
This is the first of three seasons in a row where AC/DC songs accompany the recap. This season was Hell's Bells. Season 4 is You Shook Me All Night Long. And season 5 is Thunderstruck. And my last little tidbit, in filming The Boys Escape from the Bar, several takes were done of Jared diving into the backseat of Bobby's car. The director, Kim Manners, wanted it to happen fast. And because Jared is 6'4" and was diving into a small space, he kept banging his head in the same spot over and over.
Oh my God, did he get a concussion?
Well, when hair and makeup came to touch them up after the scene, the hairstylist ran her hands through Jared's hair and a small clump of hair with a piece of scalp came out.
Oh, God.
They used that clump of hair in the box the boys used to summon the Crossroads demon later in the series, and it remains in the prop lockup to this day.
Oh, no. That's horrible.
His poor head is in a box. A little piece
forever.
Of Jared. A little piece of Jared left over.
He's a part of Supernatural forever now.
Forever. Wonder if he gets that back now. They're like, here, by the way, you can have your scalp and hair back.
This has your DNA.
12 seasons ago, you sacrificed for...
That's so funny. That's so weird, too. That poor head.
Poor Jared. This poor little head.
Well, it's no surprise I'm going to be talking about the seven deadly sins. I know you're shocked.
I would be disappointed if you didn't.
All right. So, according to the Catholic Church, these are also known not only as the seven deadly sins, but as the seven capital sins or the seven cardinal sins. They can be found in Dante's Inferno, Chaucer's The Canterbury Tales.
Oh, I remember reading that.
Animes such as Full Metal Alchemist and the Seven Deadly Sins, and movies such as Seven, as Dean so nicely put. Now, according to the Old Testament, they're actually the seven spirits of deceit, which kind of tie into demons. And they are as follows: fornication, fighting, pride, injustice, gluttony, vainglory, and lying.
You said gluttony as I'm chowing down on some food.
Well, you know, these things. Pride is the number one in the Old Testament because it breaks the first commandment, in which that no one is God or godlike, except for God himself. According to the 4th century monk, Evagrius Ponticus,
aka
Evagrius the Solitary.
Oh, all by himself.
He listed 8 evil thoughts in Greek in order of seriousness, with pride being the most dangerous, which seems to be the one theme that has kept over the years through the lists, pride being the number one worst deadly sin. And I apologize in advance because I am going to speak some Greek and then some Latin, and it's going to get gross. All right, so number one, and this is going to be in no particular order for this one, gastromagria, which is gluttony, and in Latin is gula. 2, porneia, prostitution or fornication, and in Latin, luxuria.
I'm just going to laugh every time you say that.
Number 3, philargria, or greed, Latin, avaricia. 4, this is going to be real bad, hyperphrenia, which is pride or overestimation, in Latin, superbia. 5, lipi, or sadness. Could also be envy, which is sadness at others' good fortune. And in Latin is philokalia. 6, orge, or orgi, which is wrath. In Latin is ira. 7, kenodoxia, which is boasting. I don't have Latin for that because it wasn't important enough to be part of the seven deadly sins, because this is 8 and not 4, because this is according to the monk Evagrius.
Or else, You're outside of the realm. I'm sorry. We don't need to know.
And number 8 is the acedia, which is dejection, and in Latin, acedia or acedia, which is sloth. And then Pope Gregory the Great reduced these 8 down to 7 in the 6th century, and eventually was added to by St. Thomas Aquinas for what we know as the now 7 deadly sins. One too many. You know, St. Thomas looked at that and went just, you know, but it's not enough information, so let me fix this. And if you read the Bible, there are not only 7 deadly sins, but there are the 7 heavenly virtues, which supposedly are the opposites of the 7 deadly sins, which can keep you from going down the wrong path. And those include prudence, hope, faith, love, temperance, justice, and courage. According to a bunch of sources, the root of all sin boils down to pride, according to Isaiah 14:12-14. Pride spurned Satan to rebel against God, followed closely by vanity, pride, man's most prevalent foundational sin. It caused Eve to disobey God and ate the apple of the tree of knowledge of good and evil in order to be like God, according to Genesis 3:5. So in the episode, when he says that pride is the original sin, he ain't wrong. They are called the 7 deadly sins because they have the ability to kill the divine spirit in all people if people choose to commit that sin. Now I'm going to go into a little detail of all the 7 deadly sins, and this is going to be in order from most dangerous, or like the worst sin. I guess there's not like the best sin.
Okay.
But, you know, the easiest sin.
This is the good sin.
So like the most dangerous to least dangerous, according to St. Thomas and Gregory the Great. Number 1, obviously being pride. Pride is an excessive view of oneself and is quoted in Jeremiah 9:23. Let not the mighty man boast of his might, but let him who boasts boast of this, that he understands and knows me. According to St. Augustine, it was pride that changed angels into devils. It is humility that makes men as angels. According to a bunch of things, including the Bible, the punishment in hell for pride is to be broken on the wheel. The wheel is also known as the Catherine wheel, which is a form of torture used in Europe during the medieval ages. And things associated with pride are the color violet and the horse.
Okay.
I guess horses are really prideful.
Is it the horse of a different color?
But of course. And I apologize in these. I'm going to be using a quote from the Bible for each one, because obviously the Bible focuses some on the 7 deadly sins. Number 2, envy, is an intense desire to have something someone else possesses, also known as jealousy. In Proverbs 14:30, a sound heart is life to the body, but envy is rottenness to the bones.
Ooh.
Also, according to Proverbs, envy is the inspiration behind Cain killing his brother Abel, because Cain coveted the favor God showed Abel. According to Buddha, do not overrate what you have received, nor envy others. He who envies others doesn't achieve peace. The punishment for envy is being immersed in freezing water forever.
Forever?
Forever.
Oh my god.
And it's not just like ice, like it's just freezing cold water.
Oh man.
Obviously associated with envy is the color green and the dog.
Oh.
Number 3 is wrath, which is a strong anger or hatred towards a person. According to Romans 12:19, beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave it to the wrath of God, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. According to Dante, love of justice perverted to revenge and spite is what wrath is. The punishment for wrath is to be dismembered alive. And I use bunny quotes for alive because obviously this is a punishment for in hell, so technically you're dead. But I just, you just, like, every morning you wake up and you just consistently get dismembered.
Oh.
And associated.
It does not sound like fun.
It does not.
I mean, not that anything in hell would be fun, but
Being dismembered alive, I guess, is not
I might great. Take an ice bath for eternity over being cut up every day.
Now, associated with wrath is the color red, aka that term, seeing red, and the bear.
A bear?
A bear.
Okay.
Number four, sloth. Kind of in the middle. And sloth is an excessive laziness or failure to act and utilize one's talents. Eventually could end up leading to wrath, which is one of the only, in my research, sins where it kind of leads to another sin. So if you kind of go down the path of sloth, then obviously you could potentially lead to wrath, which is that strong anger or hatred towards a person if you have the same talent and you don't utilize it, but they do, and they get something.
It's a gateway sin.
It is a gateway sin. According to Proverbs 6:6, go to the ant, you sluggard. Consider her ways and be wise. The punishment for sloth is to be thrown in a pit of snakes.
Ooh.
And associated with sloth is the color light blue and the goat.
Why a goat?
I don't know. I don't consider goats to be slothful, but.
No, I think goats are pretty hyper.
And
why light blue? I would think if you're a sloth, that makes me think like brown.
Well, the funny part is. Obviously, let me see. Going through here real fast. Ah, yes, because blue is just already taken.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so.
So we have to go light blue.
Light blue.
But
not robin's egg blue, just light blue. Sky blue.
Sky blue.
All right, so we move along to number five, which is greed, which I thought would be a lot further up. I thought it would be above sloth, but apparently not. But I guess if sloth couldn't lead to wrath, they're going to be tied together.
Okay.
And greed is an
piggyback.
Yeah, exactly. Greed is an excessive pursuit of material goods. According to Hebrews 13:5, let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have. The punishment for greed is to be boiled alive in oil.
Oh!
And associated with greed are the color yellow and the frog.
Boiled alive
in oil. Not just water, like you're in oil.
Is that a constant thing, too?
Yeah.
Like the water? Yeah. Like the ice water?
It didn't say whether or not you, like, wake up every day, get tossed in oil, and then you get to be boiled alive, or if you're just, like, you arrive in hell, they throw you in the oil, and you're just there forever.
Okay.
Number six, gluttony, which is an excessive eating of food or drink. Also tied in here can be alcoholism, because obviously if you're excessively drinking, you could potentially be an alcoholic. According to Corinthians 10:31, therefore, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all for the glory of God. Basically meaning don't excessively do it. You do it in celebration of the Lord.
Yeah.
According to Thomas Aquinas, who was the one who narrowed us down.
Thank you, Thomas.
And added on to the Pope's seven. Gluttony denotes not only a desire of eating and drinking, but an inordinate desire leaving the order of reason. Basically meaning, like, you're hungry and that's all you can think about, so you consistently do it. Like, you leave all realm of reason.
Okay.
Your punishment for gluttony is to be force-fed rats, toads, and snakes.
Oh.
And only them.
Oh, God.
Associated with gluttony is the color orange and the pig.
Oh.
Makes sense, though. It's the only one that really made sense. I was like, okay, yeah, I see that.
Yeah, like, what does the frog have to do with greed? But the pig.
The pig.
I get the pig, I guess.
And lastly, apparently lust is not the most dangerous sin.
Is it the least dangerous sin?
It is the least
sin?
Dangerous sin.
I never would have thought that.
Lust is a strong passion or longing, especially for a sexual desire, but could also be for money or power. According to Timothy 2:22, flee also youthful lust, but pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace. Basically, I guess it's okay to be lusty if you're youthful, but like as soon as you hit an age, you're like, no, you got to leave that behind. Focus on righteousness, faith, love, and peace.
Once you're a certain age, sorry, you can't be lusty anymore.
Nah.
You're too old to be lusty.
And according to 19th century Cardinal Henry Edward Manning, lust makes you a slave to the devil.
Oh.
Your punishment for lust is to be smothered in fire and brimstone forever.
Hmm.
And associated with lust is the color blue and the cow.
Why not red?
I don't know why a cow.
Sexy cow? I have no idea.
Because red is already taken. Also, that is our okay, good so friend.
Can it be pink?
That is our good friend Wrath. Wrath's got red.
Okay, so Lusty can be pink.
You'd think. Blue. Like a light red.
It's more of a crimson red, not a fire engine red.
And then lastly, according to a 1989 study by Donald Capps published in Pastoral Psychology, lust, greed, and apathy are predominantly male sins. Envy and pride are predominantly female sins. Melancholy, anger, and lust are considered worse by both men and women. Younger adults are repelled by lust and anger. And older adults are more concerned with melancholy or sloth.
Oh, okay.
And because I didn't do some housekeeping because I'm a horrible person, my sources include deadlysins.com, Psychology Today, meangods.com, and Bible1.net.
Did you say mean gods?
Meangods.com. Yes.
I don't know why I get surprised by these websites all the time. Like, why wouldn't there be a website called Seven Deadly Sins?
No, it's just called deadlysins.com.
Deadlysins.com.
Deadly Sins. Yeah.
My bad.
But that's all I got on the seven deadly sins. I could have gone into a lot more stories and like Bible verses and stuff, but I feel like we all kind of have an already basic knowledge of the seven deadly sins.
Yeah.
I did find it interesting that, because I sat there when I was watching the episode going, pride, are you the original sin? Like, but if you think about it, pride is also what caused Lucifer to rebel against God. So technically Lucifer experienced pride, obviously Eve and Adam experienced pride, makes it the original sin.
Numero uno.
Most dangerous. But that's all I got. I feel like in comparison to the Monster Mash that we had last time, this one was nice and short and sweet.
I like
it. Coming to the point, we got some information out there.
I did love the Monster Mash though.
That was a lot of fun.
That was a good idea, and it was a lot of fun to record.
Yeah. Hopefully you guys enjoyed it, too. I'd like to think you did.
I see the numbers. The people seem to enjoy it.
Yeah, awesome. Thank you guys also for following us and sharing us. If you're sharing us, and if you're not sharing us, please share us. I have no problem.
If you're not, you should.
I will pridefully boast this. Like, you should kind of share our podcast. We're pretty cool.
And if you're not following us on Twitter or Instagram or Facebook, please follow us there as well. We have some fun content.
We do, and we're actually in the midst of working on a couple other things, such as like a logo. I got some feelers out there with some of my artistic friends because I am a ideas girl. I am not an actual like artistic person.
Yeah, and I wish I was, but I also am not. Hence why, yeah, I choose stock photos for our for our covers right now.
And then we got a couple things we're working on in between there too. Obviously, if there's something you guys want to see or hear, see or hear from us, please let us know. Slide into our DMs, shoot us an email, all that fun stuff.
Maybe you could see us soon. I don't know.
We did just celebrate a year.
We did.
Our podcast is a year old.
I know. Why didn't we mention that at the beginning?
Cut and paste this shit.
We are 1 year old. It's so exciting.
It's very exciting.
And it's all thanks to you guys that we're still doing it. I mean, not, honestly, we'd probably do it anyway.
It's nice to have some people to interact with, and it's not just for ourselves.
It's nice that you guys are enjoying it, and you're embracing it, and you're loving it, and it makes us feel good.
All warm and fuzzy inside. Especially with the holidays coming up. And like, so we're in season 3 and like the 15th season is almost over.
Oh, I know.
What the heck?
Well, I'll probably cut this out, but by the time this airs, the 15th season will be over.
I know.
But just more the reason for people to come and listen.
Yes. So if you know anyone who's not listening to us, please feel free to share us. And obviously you can find us on anywhere that's carrying a podcast, such as, you know, iTunes, Apple, Spotify, iHeartRadio,
Google Podcasts,
Stitcher,
everything.
Yeah. You guys, if you guys want it, you can find it. We're here with open arms.
You know, since your friends will probably be upset about season 15 and they'll want to start from the beginning, this is the perfect place to do it. Watch the episode, listen to us, hand in hand. It's perfect.
We're in this together, guys.
We are.
It's a family business.
And on that, we'll leave it.
Thanks for listening to us.
Bye.
Bye.
You've been listening to Balls, a supernatural podcast with Lizzie and Missy. If you want more, follow on Twitter and Instagram at SBNBallsPod or email SBNBallsPod@gmail.com. Be sure to subscribe and follow Balls on your favorite streaming service.